Welcome to Making Sense of the Madness. I'm your host, Sean Morgan. We have a great show for you tonight. We're going to be talking to Amy Bond. She's the co-founder of PERC, Protecting the Education Rights of Kids. She's going to be talking about the insidious type of aggressive push for a global vaccine passport, how this is being rolled out in 52 countries in the world, and how they're really coming after our kids and what we can do to stop it. And we're also going to talk to Dr. Kirk Elliott about a market update, what's going on in the financial reset world, how we can protect ourselves there as soon as we get back from a word from our sponsor. In early 2021, a short squeeze in silver was initiated. What does this mean? It means that individual investors can take advantage of a global supply shortage in silver, while the big banks will have to end their contracts with physical delivery of an asset that's becoming scarce to non-existent. Low supply plus high demand will cause prices to increase rapidly. The only way to take advantage of a short squeeze is to own physical silver. Call Sovereign Advisors today. They have over 27 years of experience identifying these trends, so you can maximize your return while at the same time minimize your risk. Call them today before prices go up any further. 720-605-3900. We are back. We're going to be interviewing Dr. Kirk Elliott from Dr. Kirk Elliott Private Advisors. He's going to give us a market update. Tell us what's going on in the financial reset world. Kirk, how are you doing tonight?
Hey, I'm doing great, Sean. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I mean, it's weird living in the world we live in. 2022 is here. We got the hashtag empty shelves Biden going. The stock market's on a knife's edge. You've got the JP Morgan president, CEO, saying he's expecting more than four rate hikes this year. And then people under him at JP Morgan are saying buy the dip. So we've got, all kinds of different signals all over the place. This is just indicative of that top of a bubble, isn't it?
It is. And, when we look at what's happened, as I look to 2022 and what I expect is going to happen, I mean, this first, 10 days of January are a reflection of the last quarter, right? Because, and you and I talked about this on previous shows, the last quarter was a bloodbath. We don't know what the fourth quarter numbers of 2021 are until probably the third week in January, but we're going to know them pretty soon, right? But retailers just hit the skids. It wasn't what anybody expected. So when you come into this week, what happened? Well, you had Jerome Powell raised rates, said we're going to raise rates 3 to 6 times. The Federal Reserve communication from the FOMC meeting said, yeah, we're going to raise rates, but it's going to be faster than what people expect, and it's going to be to a greater amplitude, right? So they're going to be higher than what people expect and quicker coming. So that caused the stock market to hit the skids over the first 10 days of this year. The S&P 500 down 1.9%, the NASDAQ down 3.5%. Put it into perspective. That's the biggest loss, since in that duration of time since 2000 and the tech stock bubble, right? So this is a function of the inflationary pressures hitting America, and then you have to ramp up interest rates to slow that down. So the stock market hit the skids, but there's more reason why the stock market is jittery right now. So when you look at things like the Biden's Build Back Better plan, right, which is should be called Kill America Faster plan. But it's terrible. It's one of the worst economic plans ever in the history of our country, right? All it is money printed out of thin air to pay people to stay home with rising taxes. I mean, I just encapsulated it in two sentences there. So estimates are, if that thing is passed, earnings per share will come down 2 to 3%. It's like, okay, Kirk, 2 to 3%. We've been hearing, people like David Stockman, Reagan's budget director, say stock market's going to hit 50 to 75% correction. Even Lawrence Summers says NASDAQ's going to hit, 50% correction under some of these things with the rate increases. So what's the big deal about 2 to 3% earnings per share? Well, you have to look at the price to earnings ratio. Historically, the PE ratio is 15, meaning if you take the price of the stock divided by the earnings, right, it'll get you this ratio. Historically, the number is 15. Right now, it's 38. it's at an all-time high. So when you multiply the price-to-earnings ratio times a 2 to 3% decline, I mean, really, we're looking at David Stockman type market correction here of 50 to 75%. So this is a problem, right?
It is a problem, then, because you got most Americans then, with their retirement mostly stocks. You know what they saved up their whole life for, Kirk, could be erased, and it could take a decade to get it back if they're just sticking with stocks.
Well, so the 2009 bubble that burst, it took people 4 years to recover from that just to break even. The tech stock bubble in 2000 took seven. See, but this is a worse thing. This isn't just subprime lending. This isn't just tech stocks. This is an everything bubble.
Yeah, I'm thinking about the 70s. The lost decade. People who invested at the beginning of the 70s didn't make any money by the end of the 70s. They were, you know, only the people who invested in gold and silver made any money in that decade. So I know that's your specialty, silver, gold. What else is important for people to think about? Because I saw today a really weird statistic that used cars went up higher than the stock market in the past 12 months, more than 30%.
Well, used cars. I mean, so I was talking to actually Scott McKay, you know, as another show on American Media Periscope, right? And he got this big Ford Dually truck, right? But he sold his last one. Well, it was, I don't know, 5 or 7 years old. They gave him full MSRP for that thing. It's like they didn't even really take anything off of it based on its original value, because nobody can get new cars because of the chip shortage, right? And so I mean, the price of old cars is going through the roof. And a buddy of mine had a 1994 Dodge Ram 1500 that had fluff coming out of the ceilings and out of the seats. And it was terrible. It was a terrible truck. And they got paid $2,000 cash on the spot, right? That thing was basically salvage material. And people are just paying high prices for cars because you can't get new ones. This is a function of the supply chain disruptions that we're seeing. So speaking of supply chain disruptions, you've also got corporations right now are actually squeezed for margin, right? When people are buying stuff and you have cost of goods that are lower, but now you've got inflationary pressures, cost of goods are higher. It's not like the price that people pay on the retail side can go up with that rising cost of goods because they just can't afford it. They can't afford things now. So therefore, corporate America is squeezed at the margin for profitability, right? And so this is going to even hamper more corporate productivity, earnings, reports coming out, and that's going to put a downward effect on the stock market. So why am I saying all this? Because when you see these trends, when you see the fundamental forces that cause these trends and you don't act, you're going to sink with the ship. Well, everything that we're talking about, rising taxes, political chaos, inflationary pressures, cause gold and silver to go up. And I don't see any of those changing anytime real soon, Sean. So therefore, you got to gobble up as much gold and silver as you can. And I'm not saying that they're going to be the best investment forever. At some point, we'll lock in profits in silver. At some point, we'll lock in profits in gold. But I don't see that happening anytime real soon, because I don't see the fundamental forces that are driving this economy changing anytime real soon.
Right. I mean, about those margins, I saw that some leftist politicians like Senator Warren were criticizing the CEO of Kroger's, you know, accusing them of, you know, exploiting this situation with rising prices and trying to leave the consumers on the hook for higher prices. And he shared his actual profit margins, which were razor thin, and he shared them publicly. It seems like every time Senator Warren tries to attack someone on Twitter, she ends up getting a dose of logic as a response. But this is what these politicians do. I saw it in Turkey. Because of their policies, they've got rising prices. And then they try to accuse business owners of like price gouging when they have no choice.
This from the lady who supported Obamacare that caused healthcare prices to go through the ceiling, right? And insurance costs to go through the ceiling, pharmaceutical costs to go through the ceiling. I mean, good grief, for them to be talking about rising prices because of their own policies, it's just dumb. It's just simply dumb.
Right. I mean, this hashtag empty shelves Biden, you know, it just seems like every day there's some kind of new thing that the public is awakening to these failed policies. And I just am happy that we have you on the program, because a lot of people in the audience would be reacting rather than being proactive and planning with all of this. So thanks for coming on. Any final thoughts before we sign off?
No, don't just be a hearer of the word, be a doer, right? When you hear this kind of stuff, if you don't do anything, you put your head in the sand, which is what fear generally makes people do, right? It makes people inactive, right? But we have to act. We have to take this first leap of faith, step out of something that we've known our whole lives, the stock market for most of us, and go into precious metals as an asset preservation, first and foremost, protect your capital, right? But that's not all we're getting right now. We're actually growing a lot. So you can have your cake and eat it too. I would encourage you to call our office and have a free consultation with us. We'll help get you out of the path of this hurricane into safe ground.
Absolutely. Dr. Kirk Elliott, thanks for coming on. We're going to go to a word from our sponsor. When we get back, we're going to talk to Amy Bond about protecting our kids from these vaccines as soon as we get back.
Hello, everyone. This is John Michael Chambers, the creator and founder of American Media Periscope. Now, did you know that annuities are a great way to protect a portion of your retirement portfolio from downside risk? And unlike CDs and money market accounts, they accumulate tax deferred and can participate in the upside of market indexes. And they are probate free and can provide an income you can't outlive. Let a company you can trust help you select an annuity that's right for you. Call the Cleveland Insurance Group at 844-USA-2024. That's 844-USA-2024. Tell them John Michael Chambers sent you.
Cleveland Insurance are true patriots. You can check out the link in the description below and get a free consultation about annuities. Well, Amy Bond is the co-founder and president of PERC, Protection of the Educational Rights of Kids. It's a nonprofit that advocates for civil rights and freedoms with particular focus on protecting children, including protecting their rights. They represent tens of thousands of parents and children across their states, and they're doing lawsuits to protect kids. Let's welcome Amy Bond to the show. Amy,
hi,
how are you doing
thank
tonight?
You so much for having me. I'm doing well. I'm excited to have this conversation with you. Thank you.
Absolutely. You really have been doing some deep research about this. You're really advocating for these kids. Tell me, what gave you this mission?
Well, my husband and I have been married 21 years, and we have three children of our own. And really, as a parent, I didn't understand really what was happening here in California until we moved here from Texas about 3 years ago. And it really, we jumped into it, you know, to the deep end on what's going on here. And I realized in that the very beginning of arriving here to California that I've got to be willing to speak up for my children. And it propelled me into activism. And it also propelled me into starting a nonprofit with some other powerful warrior women. And so here we are, really taking on one of the biggest issues in the entire country in one of the biggest states with a lot of challenges, but we're ready here to defend the children and protect them.
Is there something in particular that happened that made you think that your kids' safety was in danger, that you had to stand up for them?
Yeah, so our children were, well, one of them was vaccine injured several years ago. And so that was kind of the first time that we saw that there could be problems with just vaccines in general. And from there, really, when COVID happened and they locked down the schools, at that time, I was president of PERC, this, you know, nonprofit here. And I just saw how just devastating these closures have been on children, my children, other people's children across the whole state, tens of thousands of children, in fact, where, you know, they've been hurting, you know, with anxiety issues and PTSD and learning loss and academic loss, where, you know, so many children lost their reading and their math skills. And all of those big issues, just seeing how much of an impact policy can have on our children. I just am one of those people that when you see a big problem, I'm not one of the people who can just sit back and do nothing. I just have to do something. And so we've been able to use the vehicle of our organization to do something to protect the children. And so we actually have filed multiple lawsuits, one against LAUSD, Los Angeles Unified School District. And that, I mean, for people who may not know this, Los Angeles School District is one of the biggest in the entire country. It's the second largest school district, and it also is the largest in the entire state of California. So we're taking on, just to give you context, we're taking on a school district that has over $300 million set aside for their legal budget. And that's a Goliath, really. But we actually had a huge victory with our lawsuit against LAUSD.
So what was the suit about? And I have heard about this school district being one of the most aggressive in the nation about, trying to force kids, or in some cases I heard about, even vaccinating kids without parents' consent.
Yeah, so we've actually had a lot of issues going on across the whole state of California. In LAUSD, there have been instances where parents, I mean, this is really, really atrocious, but parents have sent their children to school and the children have come back vaccinated with a COVID shot against the parents' knowledge and against the parents' wishes. So in one instance, two children from one family came home and they had been vaccinated against the parents' knowledge even. I mean, and the thing that's happening is the children are being bribed with donuts and pizza and incentives to go against their parents. And, you can't even believe this is really happening, but it really is. So that's one thing that happened. The other thing is that LA, Los Angeles School District, and any school district for that matter in California, they're actually directly violating the law when they're trying to put the requirement of the COVID shot on the school schedule. And why they're doing that, or how it's a violation of the law, the California Department of Public Health is the only authority in the state of California who actually can add a vaccine to the school schedule. The other group or entity that can do that is the legislative body in Sacramento. So any of these school districts or schools that are going rogue and trying to require the shot on the children, they're actually directly violating law. The other thing that's happening is they're violating home study and independent study education codes. They're violating a lot of things. So we know that. And so we geared up and filed this lawsuit to contend with them, claiming that they have authority to do this, which we know that they don't, according to the law. So there's a lot of issues going on in the case of the children. But, the other thing is that every parent is really the only person who should be able to make medical decisions for their children. So these are issues between a doctor, the child, the parent, and children that are very young in age, 12 or 13. They, in San Francisco, a health order was issued over the summertime. And that health order said that children as young as 12-year-olds could give their own consent to get the COVID shot without their parents' knowledge. So there's a lot of issues happening. We think that this is definitely a parental rights issue. It's a human rights issue, and everybody should be able to make choices about what goes into their body and the body of their children.
This is odd. I mean, don't we already have laws on the books that state that kids aren't able to make medical decisions without parents' permission?
Yeah, so there are laws. Unfortunately, in California, we actually are hearing through the grapevine that Sacramento plans on potentially trying to lower that age of consent through new legislation coming forward this year. So we're very concerned about the erosion of parental rights and really trying to, children are not in a position to make these types of decisions for themselves. I mean, I'm sure you would agree with me.
Yes, I believe very strongly in parental rights. So I'm really happy with the work that you're doing. So you have six lawsuits. Anything else that you want to mention about those lawsuits before we talk about the vaccine passports?
Yeah, I would love to actually. So really, I want to mention one other thing about the LAUSD lawsuit really quickly. So first of all, we filed a lawsuit in October against LAUSD. And then what happened is that in December, we had a court hearing. And our legal team went to battle the case, and we're co-plaintiffs with CHD California on that particular lawsuit. And our legal team came out of that particular hearing. The judge did not make a final ruling at that particular time. This was in December. And then what happened was that within 2 days of that court hearing, we got word through mass communication from LAUSD. So with less than 48 hours from our court hearing, that they had the intent to delay and suspend the vaccination mandate that they had put on the children. So just so everybody kind of understands, 34,000 children were going to be kicked out of school and forced into independent study. And the deadline was today. So January 10th is the deadline that they had placed on the families and the children, the parents, that if they were not vaccinated, then they would be forced out of in-person learning. So within 48 hours of our particular lawsuit and court hearing, we got word of this potential suspension, which we knew was a direct capitulation to our lawsuit and a huge, huge victory for parents. And so Tuesday, a couple days after that initial announcement that they planned to vote, the LA Board of Education planned to vote to make this, official, we were all there outside of the building with a huge just grassroots rally. And sure enough, they did suspend the deadline for the children. So, it was a huge victory protecting 34,000 children. So just massive victory for the parents, for our group, for Children's Health Defense California, for the legal team. Anytime you have these types of results, it's a fruit of us pushing back so hard, right, and aggressively back.
We just sat back and did nothing, they could just keep on aggressively pushing forward this playbook. But that was a direct result of your advocacy and all those parents who stood up. That's great. But it does kind of bring to the fore this strategy that different organizations have, and including the Biden administration, of just putting forth this date, the scary date, that, and they just put out a press release and just say, well, everyone's got to do it by this date. Now, they know that when things go to the courts, especially when they go to the highest courts in the land, that they're probably going to be shot down. But hey, they got millions of people to look at the scary date, and a lot of people took action based on that date out of fear, right?
Oh, yeah, exactly. These deadlines are really arbitrary. So what they're using is they're using intimidation tactics. They're using bullying, even psychological pressure, coercion, threatening people, threatening parents, threatening children. I mean, that's really the tactic that's being used right now to really coerce people to get the shots right now. And so I want to tell you another really awesome example of people fighting back here in California. Another one of our lawsuits is actually directed towards LA County. And in that lawsuit, we have over 5,000 first responders and public employees organized in that lawsuit across like 60 plus departments in the county. So we filed that lawsuit also in October to contend directly with the LA County mandate. And I'll just tell you that the courage that these people have, they're willing to defend all of our freedoms, be terminated if it's necessary in order to protect our rights, our human rights. And so, I mean, it's just a really inspiring thing, but that's another just amazing lawsuit that we have going with that many people pushing back in the county. Another one we have against Beverly Hills City, and that one is in LA County, but specifically against the city of Beverly Hills. And that particular one is focused on religious retaliation that happened against more than two dozen firefighters. And this is the pattern we're seeing. So basically, there's huge amounts of coercion happening, intimidation, threats, and then laying people off, telling them that these lifelong careers and these people that are heroes. I mean, think about it. Firefighters, police officers, public employees. These were the groups that were considered essential workers who were out in the streets protecting the people while everybody else was on Zoom, right? So these are the people that their jobs are being threatened now. It's it's just so wrong, and we had to do something about it. So yes, we have almost six lawsuits now to contend with all these things happening.
It's working. Keep it up. But people do have a lot to lose. Certainly, you talked about firefighters, for example, perhaps losing their jobs, their careers, their pensions, their retirement. But these parents, you know, they were counting on having their kids in school, not only just for education, not only for socialization, but also because they work all day at their jobs, and where else are they going to put their kids? So then all of a sudden, when they're being forced to figure out some other plan for their life, right, they might end up actually doing a medical intervention for their kids that they don't even believe in, don't even want, but they feel like they have no other choice. Can you talk on that?
Yeah, that's very true. That really is what's happening. And it's both for adults and parents related to their children. People feel pushed into a corner and backed up against a wall where they feel like they have no other choice in order to provide for their family or put food on the table or send their children to school because they're, you know, a single parent or, you know, working parents. So, I think this is one of the hardest things because these are real people with everyday problems and families, and they just want to send their kids to school to learn. And instead of being able to do that, they're being pressured into decisions that they don't even want to make. I mean, we hear it all the time, this regret, like people have gotten the shot because they feel like they had no choice or they gave it to their children and they have health consequences now. It's actually really sad. And it's just so wrong. I mean, think about it, just so wrong to be forced into a medical decision. You know, what about the Declaration of Helsinki and, you know, the Nuremberg Code and any of these, you know, bills and rights that are supposed to protect us, the Constitution? You know, you mentioned that, that the president is, you know, they're doing all these mandates and it's almost like they're pushing just to get as many people vaccinated as possible, knowing that maybe in the long run, they'll lose in the courts. But in the meantime, like you just said, people are feeling pressured and feeling like they have no choice. So I hope people can listen and hear that they do have a choice, that there are groups out there who can help them, who can help them build coalitions, who can help them push back. So, and come up with solutions that can even be better than public school. You know, a lot of parents are coming together and creating great, like, homeschool pods and learning opportunities for the children. So there are ways to handle this, but I know it's hard out there. So,
absolutely. You know, we have to acknowledge it, that there is a cost to fighting this. Well, you've become somewhat of an expert on vaccine passports, and it is somewhat creepy when you start looking around the world at how all these different countries seem to be, you know, using the same strategies, the same playbook. And you've done research on how big tech is involved and coordinating. So can you talk on that subject?
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, we as a group, my PERC team, we have done extensive research into all these issues. So anything that I talk about, I'm not going to ever share anything that hasn't been well researched and thorough and, you know, is coming from really credible sources. So I just want to say that. Secondly, ironically, our involved schools and protecting children there actually is what tipped us off to the vaccine passport issue. And what does it look like? And we, you know, really went down the rabbit hole to understand that. Where it started for us here in California is, ironically, LAUSD again, Los Angeles Unified School District. Last year, before children could return to school, they were requiring what was called a daily pass. So this was coming from Microsoft, and Microsoft was initiating this daily pass that essentially is a health pass, a digital passport. And what people understand as a vaccine passport, it has a lot of different names. You know, you're hearing it be called a digital pass, a health pass, a green pass, a travel pass, but in reality, they're all the same thing. So people need to be awake and discerning that the name that it's called, it could be a health pass, they could call it a vaccine passport, but it's all the same thing. It's basically an infrastructure and digital system that is tracking people who are vaccinated and unvaccinated and basically withholding certain services and parts of being in society. So just kind of understanding that umbrella of what we're talking about here with vaccine passports. I want to actually mention that another thing that we did as we were researching this topic, we started to look into wearable sensors too. And the reason we did that was also because of the children. We were getting word that in some of the districts here in California, there was a little bit of talk of children having to wear some type of tracking bracelet on their ankle or their wrist. So these like wearable devices, like there's kind of just something was going on. So we looked into it extensively, and this is what we discovered. There, most people know, of course, Moderna is one of the leading vaccine manufacturers, but most people don't realize that DARPA is an entity that's under the Department of Defense, and they are the ones that actually funded Moderna. And why that's significant is because DARPA is currently, over the past decade, focused on biotechnology. So things related to the biology and our body and technology. And DARPA also has funded an organization called Profusa. Profusa actually has created an injectable biosensor that's smaller than a grain of rice. And it just goes under the, just under your skin, it's actually injected under your skin. So in your body. And it's made out of a hydrogel that has some type of light, a fluorescent light that is emitting signals. Now, as you can imagine, like what in the world is this for? And why does this have anything to do with vaccine passports? Well, that particular Profusa, this injectable biosensor syncs up to our smartphones. So there's just the beginning. So this biosensor injected into your body emits a signal that then can be synced up to our smartphones. So the other thing that people should know about Microsoft and our smartphones is that Microsoft also has a patent out there for wearable sensors that are connected to a cryptocurrency system using body activity data. So now if you can kind of start to see, there's some kind of connection going on here between our body data, wearable sensors, and our smartphones. So we took it a step further, looked into it even more. And what we found is last year, the WHO, the World Health Organization, had set up this working group. And this working group was called the Vaccination Credential Initiative. And in that working group, you have Microsoft and other kind of big names, a part of the coalition for this working group. And this was the first sign and indication that we saw from our PERT group of these of what's called a smart health card or a smart health app. And what it was is it's essentially a way to track and trace and identify people's vaccination status. So this is really essentially the vaccine passport. And what's crazy about this is that through what's also called the Commons Project, so there's this big umbrella that's happening. The Commons Project initiated the Commons Pass. And this is all being funded through the World Economic Forum and the Rockefeller Foundation. So through this, they have the Smart Health Card. And I wanna just kind of give you an idea of how big this is. This is global. So according to their own website, they have the Smart Health Card through the Commons Pass in more than 52 countries. So this is, you know, giving you an idea. This is not just California. It's not just an issue here. This is something that's happening across the entire globe where they're trying to set up this infrastructure through this Common Pass. So they're calling it different things, the Common Pass, the vaccine passport, okay? But when you kind of see this, you know, this is happening globally. So this Commons Project is where they're housing the, you know, the smart health pass, the smart health card. And the way that it, what it looks like in California is that you get a QR code through the California Department of Public Health. And that QR code is basically essentially what you scan to be able to get in and out of places. Think indoor places, restaurants, spas, you know, concerts, you know, facilities, that type of thing. So that's what's happening. You've got the smart health card, it's global. And the thing we have to pay attention to is what do the governing officials or the agencies such as the CDC say, you know? So back in the summertime, we were very alarmed because the CDC director came out with a public statement and she said that vaccine passports is may very well be the path forward in the United States. So when we were looking into the smart health cards coming from Microsoft, a part of this big Commons Pass and, you know, the Commons Project, what we found is that they plan to have the smart health card be the standard for the entire country, for the whole United States. So sometimes, you know how sometimes people think, oh, this is not going to impact me. I'm in Tennessee or I'm in Florida. Florida, you guys are very lucky, by the way. But, you know, you think you're not going to be impacted by this because it's not in your state. But I'm here to tell you that you are, that their plan is that they're setting up this entire infrastructure that is global and that they want the entire country. So very important for people.
This is unbelievable. When you started using the words tracking and tracing, another word came to mind is surveillance. That this is a surveillance mechanism. They never use that word. The word surveil and surveillance has more of a negative connotation. They make it sound so great. It's green. It's a green pass. You get the green light to do whatever you want as long as we can surveil you. And this is not about safety. This is not about health. I've seen in New Zealand, for example, when they have like no one in the entire country sick with COVID, maybe a few people tested positive that are asymptomatic, and they're rolling out the surveillance mechanism throughout the entire country. So, you know, I'm sure you've gone down the rabbit hole. You know, what do you think is the main reason why these technocrats are in such favor of this type of infrastructure?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, honestly, we've asked ourselves, why are they doing this? And I think we've come up with a couple of instinctual answers about why is this happening? What's going on? What's behind it? So I think, first of all, that they're trying to set up a control mechanism that is global. So a centralized control that essentially can control everything. So, you know, food, water, bank accounts, you know, we see them already trying to control travel and school and work, right? But those are only a few parts of our everyday society, right? So essentially, them having the vaccine passport, it's actually not even about whether you've been vaccinated or not. And that's the thing, is looking into their own presentations, we discovered one of their own slides that said, it's not even about the proving immunity. It wasn't about proving immunity. It was about just recording that the event had actually happened, meaning that you got the vaccine, the COVID vaccine.
Compliance would be another word.
Yes. Yeah. So it's compliance, it's control. It's a way for them to control just your movement in society. Just think about it. Like all of our phones and our computers and, you know, these vaccine passports, if you understand the whole infrastructure they're trying to put in place, they're going to have sensors in everything. So imagine that you can't even go to across the street because your phone is sensing whether your body temperatures are, you know, elevated or not. I mean, that's right. Where this is going. Like
already more aggressively rolled out in Australia, for example, where people will get an alert on their phone that says you are violating the COVID rules. You're only allowed one hour of exercise per day. Return to your home immediately or you will be sent to a concentration camp. So this is not a theory here. I mean, this is happening in a more aggressive way in certain jurisdictions. And I find the name Green Pass very fascinating. In Europe, they're using this term, in Italy and France, different places, because I know the World Economic Forum and these globalists, they love this whole fake environmentalism and the carbon credits and how we need to be so environmentally friendly and control ourselves so we don't pollute too much. And so it seems like they're trying to control our ability to live a certain lifestyle, prevent us from, you know, driving cars too far of a distance or what have you. And this name Green Pass really fits this overall, you know, fake climate control agenda. Any thoughts on how centralized cryptocurrencies or the carbon credits and things might fit into this whole agenda?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. And also social credit, like the whole social credit system that you see that has been rolled out in China, that's actually a really good example of what it could look like here if vaccine passports fully are able to take hold in our country and in our states. So, I mean, really, like you said, the green pass, it's they have an agenda. That's clear. Okay. And with that agenda, they are trying to be opportunistic on rolling out this entire infrastructure to control every part of our daily lives. And we're talking just where we can even go, borders, you know, going to the grocery store. Like you said, you were talking about Australia. I mean, those are indications of what it can be like here in the United States if we don't wake up and understand clearly that it's here too. It's like right here. It's not just, you know, in another country. I'm talking to you about the things that are here in California, in Hawaii, in New York, and in our country. So we need people to understand that we've got to stop the infrastructure from fully rolling out. And I wanted to tell you another thing with the Smart Health app, the Smart Health Card coming from Microsoft. They actually have the AI technology through this particular app that can sense whether people are wearing a mask or not and what their body temperature is. So,
yes.
You know, this, I'm not, you know, this is not a,
no,
a joke.
I already got an idea of this, you know, because I was using an Uber and I wasn't using my mask for, you know, obviously, because I don't think it does anything. And they made me do a humiliation ritual where I had to take a picture of myself with a mask and prove that I had it and that I was so sorry for not complying with this and everything. So this is integrated. This is an infrastructure of social engineering. And the biggest, richest companies in the world, like Microsoft, are in on it. You know what's interesting, though, is I know there have been a few states and a few governors who have passed legislation to outlaw vaccine passports in their state. But I'm not hearing a lot of politicians really champion this idea of we need to outlaw and ban vaccine passports. We're Americans. We believe in freedom. It's not a talking point that's very popular yet. Is there anything that you want to say about how we can stop this from escalating and strategies of your organization?
Yeah, I think that's really important. I'm glad you brought that up because here's the thing. People just really aren't aware of this whole infrastructure that's being put in place. And again, I think what happens is they think, oh, my state's okay, or my governor maybe is banning vaccine passport. But it's actually so much more than that because, you know, when you have these powers that be and these huge, huge influencers, policymakers, globalists that are really, really pushing hard aggressively to get this infrastructure set up, it's not enough for your state alone, for the different states to just, you know, try to ban it. You have to understand it. You know, most of the time when I have a 2-hour presentation I do on this, the vaccine passport, and we like really go into complete detail on everything, you know, things that we don't have time to go in on the show. But I really honestly think that most of the policymakers, governors, they haven't even heard anything I just shared with you. They don't know what the smart health card is or that it's connected to the Internet of Things or biosensors. They've never heard of Profusa. You know, so I think we have to, you know, what are some of the actions? How do we stop this? We need to know. We need to have knowledge. I think if you don't have knowledge and it's not credible knowledge, then we sound ignorant, right? We're not coming prepared to the table to dialogue about it. So I think we need to really understand this issue. I think that we also need to be bringing this head on against any of the counties, the cities, and the states that are trying to implement the vaccine passport. So let's say Florida is not doing that right now, but California is. We think there's going to be bills coming through Sacramento also, not related to the children, but related to the vaccine passport too, trying to make it a law across the entire state. So we need other states and patriots to be supporting the groups such as PERC that are defending and pushing back against the vaccine passport. So people can donate to our legal fund. You know, that's something people can do. They can get, be really knowledgeable about the issue, take it to their own city councils, to their mayor, to their board of supervisors, to their own state legislators and speak about it, talk about it, educate them so that they know what it looks like. You know, one of those slides we showed that had all the different names, right? It had the green pass and health pass and the digital pass. It's being called a lot of different things, right? They're naming it this and that. And, you know, but so that's why we have to understand what it's called, that they're all, this is all vaccine passport, right? A travel pass is a vaccine passport, right? You know what I'm saying?
This is a part of the information war here. It's like the left-right issue of critical race theory, you know, and the left's defense is always, no, we're not teaching CRT. It's like, oh, no, we already learned that lesson. We know exactly what you're doing now. You can try to, you know, skirt around the issue with the wordplay, but we know we've identified the subversive attempt that you're doing here. And it's the same thing with this, right? As soon as we understand the concept of a vaccine passport, they can't sneak it around with some kind of green pass, smart pass, health pass, try to make it about the environment or something else. We know it's basically the mark of the beast. They're trying to prevent us from buying and selling without their permission. And, you know, I really appreciate that you are really teaching people about this. You have a presentation that you give with slides and you can demonstrate that. Can people access more resources from your website? How does that work?
Yeah, definitely. We have so many resources to help people. So we have a combination of kind of self-help advocacy where we, you know, put it on the website. It's free. People just can come and, you know, we have pre-drafted legal letters. Letters already prepared for people to send to their elected officials, school boards, you name it. We've got so many resources online to help people push back. And then we also have lawsuits that we've organized. You know, people can find a lot of resources. We have we have guidance on how to file religious exemptions. And, you know, what does that look like in the laws that protect you? We've got so many resources for people so that they understand how they can really get involved. And honestly, don't wait for the fight to come to you. You know, like if it's here in California and here in other states, don't wait for it to get to your state. Go talk to the people who make your laws right now and talk to your elected officials. If they're not on the same page with you, people need to be replaced. You know, we need to have people running for office that maybe would have never, you know, put their hat in this arena before, but we've got to have people with integrity who understand that the mandates that they've put out actually go hand in hand with these vaccine passports. So you can't have a vaccine passport without the testing mandate and the vaccination mandate and the mask mandate. So they're all connected to the vaccine passport. So like, let's cut this off, stop it before it even, you know, grows or gets anywhere in your state or in your county or in your state, you know, so we have good resolutions drafted. We have all kinds of support for people.
I can sympathize with you. If some people are in Florida, they're thinking, you know, this isn't a big deal for me. My governor outlawed vaccine passports, but you know, what about your fellow citizen in California suffering under this? You know, we all have to stick together as Americans to prevent this from spreading. What's next for you guys? What's your strategy moving forward?
Yeah, so we plan to continue to file strategically lawsuits. Litigation right now is definitely one of our paths forward. We also are really brainstorming a lot how we can push back on the laws we think are going to come down from Sacramento this year. We're working on coalitions and how to engage people so that instead of just a few of us fighting this, we've got hundreds of thousands of people across the country, but especially in these pivotal states like California, you know, we're gearing up for the fight. We're doing a ton of events and town halls, teaching people, training people, advocating, you know, doing lawsuits, and of course, you know, going on shows like yours, which we greatly appreciate you having me on so we can really just get this information out there, because we think people will be very empowered with this type of information so they understand the big picture. Because if you don't understand the big picture, then it's hard for people to know that the steps they're doing right now that they think are small, like sending a letter to the legislator, they're actually all very important. So don't, you know, look at the big picture, understand what's happening so that we don't go to sleep, you know, during this next several months thinking, oh, we're fine. And that's just not true. By the way, some of these entities, the Smart Health Card, the Commons Pass, the Commons Project, they actually started this in 2019. So even before lockdown,
Were planning this for a while. Yeah. I mean, you look at the Bill Gates interviews from 20 years ago, he was talking about this stuff. That's crazy. They want control, and this is an excuse that they never let a good crisis go to waste. But what I find interesting is your knowledge and your tools and your strategies. You know, you are like their worst nightmare. But you're basically making it so that other people, other communities can replicate and model all of this, right? They can go to your website, they can get the same information, the same strategies, and they can do this in their own communities. Is that what you ultimately want?
Oh, exactly. Yeah. You know, I can't be everywhere, and neither can my amazing PERC team. So we want to teach everybody how to do this so that people, everyday people, can be totally motivated and equipped to be able to go into their own city council and say, hey, we want you to pass an emergency ordinance or urgency ordinance, which is often what it's called in some of the local governments, to ban all forms of a vaccine passport. So we've already written up for people a template resolution of what that would even look like. So we've done a lot of the harder work, or, you know, people are like, how do I do this? Well, really just look at our website, you know, take the templates we've already prepared for you. And then the work that people need to do is just go in and start really trying to protect your local area and your cities and your county and your state and your school boards. You know, there's so much people can do. So yeah, we definitely are promoting a lot of that, those templates on how to do this and making it really user-friendly, honestly, so everybody can do it, you know? So we're way more powerful. There's thousands and thousands of us doing this across the country.
Absolutely. This brings me a lot of hope here. Let's bring this full circle back to the kids, since that was the whole reason that you got involved and we're trying to protect the kids. I just wanted to tell a story about my 3-year-old son, because, you know, when it comes to ourselves as parents, you know, we'll take one for the team. If I have to wear a mask to get groceries to feed my family, I'll probably do it. But when they try to make my toddler restrict his breathing to go into a preschool or have a vaccination to participate in society, I just draw a strict boundary, you know? It's not going to happen. And so I just want to put that out there for me. I know that that's how a lot of parents feel. Is there anything that you want to say about how we stop all of this craziness and why the angle of the kids and how, as parents, we would do anything for them, why that's a rallying cry that could really make an impact?
Yeah, you know, that's where my heart is with my children and also protecting all of the children. And the truth is, you know, I hope it's okay to say this, but I think one of the reasons we're even in the position that we are to even have to be talking about stopping vaccine passports is because so many people have complied for so long on some of the precursor things. So every time we stand up against these mandates, all of them, the mask, the testing, you know, the vaccine mandate, we're actually protecting our children from having the burden of what's going to be happening in the future. So that, you know, that's one part. But then the other thing is, you know, this is on us as the parents and the grandparents that we protect this generation. You know, we are the ones that live in this day. This is the challenge of our particular generation, the lockdowns, the mandates, the vaccine passports. So we've got to be willing to do whatever it takes to protect our children so that we don't lose a generation. And we don't say that it was on our watch that we were silent and we didn't have enough courage to stand up, right? So courage is contagious, just like fear is. And if we can remember that there's so many more of us who are really unified on this. We don't always realize that because they censor us a ton, but just like you with your children, there's nothing more powerful, nothing, and nothing more motivating than protecting our children. So everybody just join us. Let's protect this generation, because that is our responsibility to do so. And maybe, you know, they said that World War II had the greatest generation, but just maybe we have to be the greater generation and greatest generation of all time, where we have a global, something happening global, and we step up to fight this and do so with courage together.
Absolutely. You know, the mainstream media tries to run this other narrative that the unvaccinated are so selfish and don't have empathy and don't care about other people. But the reality is that it's only when we do this for the future generations that we'll have the moral high ground and be able to find the courage, right? Because if it was just for ourselves, we would probably comply. But if it's for our own children, I think we can muster up the courage to fight this and to win back our country and our freedom for the future generations. Thank you for the work that you do. People can find the link below to find your resources and donate and support your work. Thank you for coming on the show, Amy Bond.
Thank you so much.
We're going to a short break. You're welcome, Amy. We're going to go to a short break. We're going to come back. I'm going to give you the final announcements.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of MyPillow. Thanks to your support, you've helped make MyPillow become one of the fastest growing companies in America. Over the last 12 years, you've helped MyPillow create thousands of jobs right here in the USA.
When I got MyPillow, I'm asleep almost immediately. I stay asleep at night and I wake up more well-rested in the morning.
That's why I invented MyPillow. My patented fill adjusts to your exact individual needs and helps keep your neck supported and aligned. I'm interrupting this commercial right now. Retailers have canceled MyPillow, and to thank you for your support, I'm going to pass the savings directly on to you. Go to MyPillow.com right now to get deep discounts on all MyPillow products. For example, you can get my premium MyPillows regularly $69.98, now just $29.98, the lowest price ever.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Don't support the globalists. Don't buy your pillows and things for your house at Walmart or one of those corporations. Check out the link in the description below. Use the promo code AMP888. Support a true patriot and also support your family's health. Well, thank you for watching AmericanMediaPeriscope.net, America's Patriot-only super channel. On January 25th at 8 p.m. Eastern, there's going to be a live Zoom call with James Grunvig and Kevin Jenkins. They'll be taking your questions, answering them live. That's for premium subscribers only, so make sure you sign up on our homepage. On January 19th, 30 minutes before Making Sense of the Madness, John Michael Chambers is going to host a Trump vaccine strategy panel show with Patel Patriot, Scott McKay, Michael Jaco, Alexander Bruce, Juan O'Savin, and all the AMP show hosts, including myself. We're going to go really deep into this whole idea of Trump, why is he pro-vax? What's his ultimate strategy? We're going to go into the most controversial subject that there is right now, and we're going to have a lot of great minds figuring this out. Tomorrow, we have Sam Sorbo to talk about her TV show and educating our kids with faith and freedom. Also going to interview Clay Clark from the Reawakening America Tour. Up next tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern is Patriot Street Fighter Scott McKay. And don't forget to sign up at SeanMorganReport.com to get my breaking news updates. God bless all you patriots. Good night and good luck.